Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Feel good this winter by getting the flu vaccine at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, the potential sale of RTE's Donnybrook site, a director general sickened by a management pay rise, a recruitment freeze and a €28 million deficit. We're going to sift through the main takeaways from RTE's return to the Oireachtas Media Committee yesterday with Aisling Maloney, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. But first, during questions to the board, Fine Gael TD Brendan Griffin had this to say about a possible bailout for RTE.
Like you're looking for €50 million from the taxpayer, and my licence is up for renewal this month. It's €160. I wouldn't trust you by €160. Never mind €160 million. I'd rather go down to Murphy's Bar and Bulteens and buy a round of drinks. At least I'd know where my money went. I'd get more cultural content and I'd get more straight talking from people.
Well, later Robert Short, who's the staff representative on the RTE board, took issue with what Brendan Griffin had said.
I do think that we should take it very seriously, and I think we should take the payment of the licence fee very seriously. And I was taken aback by your description of comparing it to buying a round of drinks in a pub.
I'll be renewing my licence fee and I encourage everyone to do it.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that.
Sorry, it's not the politicians that are
I'm very glad
here.
To hear that, Deputy.
You need to own your own...
And I will own whatever action...
Don't go throwing this back now on this side of the house.
Excuse me, Deputy. I'm perfectly willing to own whatever mistakes we made. But I also think that paying your licence fee should be taken seriously by everybody.
That's Robert Short there and Brendan Griffin. Now, Aisling Maloney, as I said, is on the line. RTE and the board, they were clearly frustrated by some of the questioning from politicians yesterday. What did you make overall of this meeting compared to the other committee meetings that we had earlier this year?
And yeah, what you highlighted there was one of the more notable ding-dongs, you could say, within the committee meeting. And it wasn't the kind of breathtaking, startling meeting that we had maybe previously when all of this was quite explosive and new at the time, at the start of July, and we were uncovering each sentence. It nearly felt like that came out of executives' mouths was completely new territory, talking about barter accounts and what they had spent that money on. So this was much different. It really was. It was a marked difference. We had obviously Kevin Backhurst, who wasn't there for all of those previous meetings. It's only his second time appearing before politicians. And what it kind of felt like was a more grim outlay. And the fog has kind of cleared. The initial explosiveness has cleared. And we're now seeing in the cold light of day the grim reality of the financial situation that is facing RTE. Like, I was talking to some staff. One described it as a sobering hearing. And that it all feels real now, you know, when we're talking about the brass tacks of this. And, you know, the group financial controller of RTE, Mike Fives, he was there yesterday and he laid out that the money that RTE are going to need to foot the bill after this controversy. He said that there was already a €7 million deficit projected for RTE for 2023, and that was before the steep decline in licence fee revenue. Mm-hmm. The first week in September saw the largest decrease since this controversy arose, and nearly €1 million less TV licence fee sales compared to 2022. And all over in by the end of the year, there's a projected €21 million fall off in licence fee revenue, and that money is needed, but that is also needed on top of the €34.5 million that RTE went to government to ask for back in May before this controversy arose. And that money, Kevin Backhurst laid out yesterday, was for things like inflationary costs, staff costs, things that are fixed and were going to befall RTE before this crisis. And he also mentioned that it's for things like elections.
Yes.
And covering party thinking.
Yes, and that's the point I was going to come to, that while the government is demanding reform and cutbacks, Kevin Backhurst was saying, well, that comes not without consequence. And that's what
Absolutely.
He was at pains to point out yesterday.
Yes, he was. And that was also, you mentioned there, the frustration between the politicians and the executives from RTE and the board members. You highlighted there Robert Short and Brendan Griffin, the Fine Gael TD. And that's what's happening. You have obviously like two competing interests. You have the politicians who want to make sure that they're getting value for money for the taxpayer, that they're not allowing these corporate governance failings to continue, and also to make sure that RTE, somebody's held accountable. And I think that's the frustration on some of those politicians' side, that they haven't really, for a lack of a better phrase, had a head on a spike that they wanted, that there isn't one person that everyone can point to, that it seems to be that people who were key players in this have now left or haven't been able to answer questions, but it's a broader cultural issue, and I think that's what they're kind of grasping at straws to try and find someone to blame, but they can't. And then you have RTE on the other side saying, hang on now, you're giving us a kicking, but we need a public service broadcaster at the end of this. And if you're going to say, sell off Montrose, or you're going to tell us to move here or move there, cut this and cut that, that comes with a cut to what you see on the TV screens or what you hear on the radio programmes. And it is politicians who, in the first instance, would be complaining or would be, you know, going on radio to give out about something being cut. So that's, he was very much, as you say, at pains to highlight that they can kick RTE as much as they like in these hearings, but it has a consequence when, at the end of the day, something needs to give.
All right, Aisling, I'm going to bring in Roddy Flynn, who's on the line too, Associate Professor and the Chair of Communication Studies at the School of Communications at DCU. Good to talk to you again, Roddy.
Hi, how's it going?
You heard yesterday a lot that was said about this potential sale of land at RTE. Kevin Backer saying that everything is on the table and they're looking at that. The valuation is being done. They're also pricing up how much it would cost to rebuild an RTE elsewhere. Do you think that's a realistic prospect?
I mean, I think politically, Kevin has to be seen to do this. I think actually there might be no harm in RTE thinking about its kind of its Dublin-centric kind of focus. It hasn't had a great history of extending beyond the metropolis. But I think it's a realistic prospect, maybe in 10 years' time, but it's certainly not a short-term solution to RTE's problems. And even if it was a solution, it's a short-term solution or a medium-term solution, because it'll be a one-off payment. RTE has an ongoing issue of being underfunded. So if you raise 400 million and you spent, 200 million on replacing that campus, sure, you'll take over for maybe 5 years. But then you're basically back to square one. So that doesn't address, that's a big fist in the dam, but that's all it is. The pressure of the fiscal water on the other side of the dam is still going to be there. And that's, I think, what was sort of disappointing, I mean, not just about yesterday, but maybe the in the longer term, the nature of the discourse from, I suppose, the political side is that this whole thing about we need to get kind of better value for money from RTE and make sure the public money is spent well, that's entirely legitimate. But, I mean, it fails to acknowledge the extent to which RTE has been, I mean, that kind of culture within RTE is essentially a political creation, and one which stems from, I would say at this stage, got the guts of 90 years of political pressure on the broadcaster, both as Radio Éireann and subsequently as RTE, to be financially self-sustaining, and a very tight control over the purse strings, which, you know, at my lifetime, RTE, or in my lifetime, RTE is currently getting the smallest amount of commercial funding it's ever had as a percentage of its overall income. It's about 45%. If you go back to 2000, the figure was 70%. And for most of the time since 1960, it's been well over, it's constituted the majority of RTE's funding. And that isn't an accident. That didn't kind of just come about because RTE said, oh, we'll go after commercial funding. It's because the state has determined how much public funding is going to be available.
So are you saying then, Roddy, that it is no longer tenable to expect RTE to be financially self-sustaining?
The point is what we mean by financially self-sustaining. The agreement, if you like, back in the 1960s was you would be financially self-sustaining on the back of two sources of funding, commercial funding and licence fee funding. But what perhaps wasn't clear back in 1960 was exactly how little public funding was going to be an element of that, and how much of that was going to be commercial. And it's absurd to essentially force an institution to look for that much commercial funding, and then to try and expect that somehow that kind of culture won't become part of the institution. So I suppose if we are to say that public funding is to become the bulk of, and I would argue, perhaps should be pretty much all of RTE's funding, or public service media's funding in general, then yeah, I am talking about kind of moving away from that situation and making it, if you like, entirely reliant. Mm-hmm. And I know that that raises concerns about state influence over the content of the broadcaster, but to pretend that the state does not currently, under the current system, have extraordinary influence through its control of the setting of the rate of the licence fee, the scale of the licence fee, is absurd. It hasn't changed in 15 years. It's meant to change every year in line with inflation.
You're not saying the government has control over the content of programmes like this one?
Not for a second. No. I mean, so my point is that, I mean, this is something that I've heard a number of ministers, including Thánaiste Micheál Martin, the last couple of days say he would prefer to go to a media fund, a household broadcasting fund, rather than having direct funding from the Exchequer. I don't necessarily disagree, by the way, with the household broadcasting fund, but just his concern about direct Exchequer funding is that this means you'll have a state broadcaster as opposed to like a national broadcaster,
yes,
a public broadcaster. What I'm the point I'm trying to get across is the idea that the state does not currently, under the current system, have, you know, some control over what RTE does and does not get in terms of its funding is absurd.
Yes.
The 160 okay. euro is set by the Minister for Communications. It hasn't changed in 15 years. It should have gone up with inflation, and it has not done so.
All right. Aisling, just want to bring you in very briefly at the end. I know you were speaking to politicians after that hearing ended. What was the general view of the new Director General, who they hadn't heard at the media committee prior to yesterday?
I think a lot of them, appreciate that he hasn't been in the job very long. He's only there 8 weeks. But they also are frustrated with the accountability and making sure that the mistakes are rectified as quickly as possible. And I suppose the things that we've seen in RTE, the frustrating things like those car allowances, that kind of that, you know, that lightning issue that people grab onto, and that things like that are rectified. And they challenged him on it. Now, there was a feeling that there was still a lot that was not left answered. There were still a lot of questions politicians had for RTE, and things were slightly still opaque, and they didn't achieve potentially the full transparency that they wanted to. There were some things that were asked there weren't answers for at the committee. Now, Kevin Backhurst was at various times highlighting that he would get back to the politician if he didn't have the answer for them. So he was definitely trying to underline his efforts to transparency. And one of those issues, Claire, that was brought up a couple of times yesterday was that RTE advertised for a photographer on the Fair City set. This was to take 16 approved photographs each week on the Fair City set, an average working week of 20 hours over the course of 3 days for 50 weeks a year. And it was advertised at €240,000 over 4 years, which is a maximum of €60,000 per year. Now, the politicians were kind of questioning the need for such a role, and Kevin Backhurst said he was surprised and wasn't aware of the job advert, which kind of inspired a little bit of frustration from politicians that how could he not know?
Okay.
Now, today RTE have kind of clarified or tried to justify, I suppose, that job, that, you know, the executive producer of the of Fair City, Bridgie DeCourcy, saying that she cannot overstate the importance of high quality, highly curated photography for Fair City. And the contract is awarded under a tender process that provides better value to RTE than engaging with professional photographers on an ad hoc basis.
Okay,
putting more details forward about that today.
And we'll have to leave it there, Aisling, but thank you very much. Aisling Maloney there from the Irish Daily Mail, and we also had Roddy Flynn. Coming up next, what to do with the problem of disposable vapes.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.